hinges creak in doorless chambers, and strange and frightening sounds echo through the halls whenever candlelights flicker, where the air is deathly still. That is the time when ghosts are present, practicing their terror with ghoulish delight.
Welcome to The Storyteller, where we share stories and music from around the world and from many cultures. I'm Natalie Harris. So today we are doing a Halloween theme, if you couldn't guess that, from Grim Grinning Ghosts from Disneyland's attraction, The Haunted Mansion, which is what I just played. So I'm very excited for Halloween. I don't know about you, but Halloween is a lot of fun, and it's a great time to dress up and go trick-or-treating and carve pumpkins. So for our first... But before we get started, the Storytellers cannot be made possible without the generous contributions of KZ Farm members and by CORE, Community Options for Resources and Education, a personalized learning California charter school accredited by the Western Association of Schools and Colleges. CORE offers a unique blended classroom and non-classroom public education model based on the needs and interests of each individual student. Information is available on the web at coretca.org or by calling 894-3952. So for our first story, we have one that I remember from my childhood. Here is Angelina's Halloween by Katherine Hollibird. Angelina loved the excitement of Halloween. She loved dressing up and trick-or-treating and spent hours with her best friend Alice, thinking about wonderful costumes. At last, they decided to be dancing fireflies and drew beautiful pictures of wings and tiaras. Angelina's little sister Polly wanted to join them. "Look at this," she kept saying, showing them her funny scribbles. Mrs. Mouseling helped them make the delicate costumes, and when the wings and tiaras were done, Angelina and Alice practiced flying around and around the cottage. Polly tried to fly too, but kept crashing into Angelina's wings. "Why do you always copy me?" Angelina stamped her foot. Polly hung her head. "I want wings," she cried. "You're too little," explained Angelina, "but you could be something really scary." Mrs. Mouseling found a sheet, and Angelina showed Polly how to be a spooky Halloween ghost. On Halloween evening, Angelina and her friends played scary games, and Mrs. Mouseling made them a bubbling witch's brew and delicious goblin cookies. When Mr. Mouseling came home with an enormous pumpkin, the two fireflies and the little ghost gave him quite a fright. After the party, Angelina and her friends set off together with their trick-or-treat bags. "Don't forget your sister," called Mrs. Mouseling, as the little ghost trotted after them. They raced each other to the general store and sang a song about spiders and bats to Mrs. Thimble, who had a great collection of Halloween sweets. Then they went to scare Miss Lily, the ballet teacher, who waved her wand and gave them each a lollipop. They were about to play a Halloween trick on old Mrs. Hodgepodge, when all of a sudden, boo! Two red devils leaped out at them from behind an apple tree. Angelina wasn't fooled and quickly recognized Spike and Sammy. "We're not scared of you," she laughed. "I'll bet you're scared of that house," teased Spike, pointing up the lane. "It's haunted." Angelina skipped off toward the dark building and banged loudly on the door. "Trick or treat," she called. There was no answer. "Let's go inside," whispered Spike and Sammy. Inside, the house was strange and shadowy, and they tiptoed around very slowly. "Ouch!" Alice stubbed her toe. Angelina shivered, and then something lumpy bumped into her. "Help!" she shrieked, and they all scrambled outside. In the dark garden, a weird sound stopped them. "Ooh, ooh." "Watch out for witches," Alice warned everyone. They peered all around, and then Angelina saw a ghostly shape struggling in the blackberry bushes. "It's only Polly," she sighed, dragging the little ghost out of the prickles. "Now stay with me," she scolded. After that, Angelina kept her eyes on the little ghost, and they went trick-or-treating all through the neighborhood, filling their bags with delicious candy. As the moon rose high in the night sky, the village band began to play, and everyone came out to join the grand costume parade. The whole village was dressed up in marvelous costumes. The two fireflies seemed to float off the ground as they danced along, with the little ghost jumping beside them. At the end of the evening, Miss Lillian proudly handed out prizes. The two fireflies and the little ghost win a special award for Halloween dancing, she announced. Hooray! Shouted the ghost, leaping up and down. But you're Henry, gasped Angelina. Where's Polly? Angelina dashed up the street to Mrs. Thimble's general store, but all the village shops were closed. She ran to Mrs. Hodgepodge's cottage, but nobody was home. Then a fuzzy monster skipped by. Have you seen a little ghost? Angelina asked, but the monster sadly shook his head. Angelina raced up and down through all the streets of the village, until at last she reached the haunted house. There she found Polly, sitting on the steps, sharing her goodies from her trick-or-treat bag with three little friends dressed as wizards. My tummy feels funny, Polly whimpered. Angelina shook her head. You shouldn't eat your sweets so fast, she said. Anyway, you really scared me. Did I? Polly smiled. On the way home, Polly held Angelina's hand. Next Halloween, can I be a firefly just like you? She asked. Next Halloween, I think I'll be an acrobat, said Angelina. Can I, Polly began, be an acrobat too? First, I'll have to show you some of my tricks, Angelina smiled. And the very next day, she did. The end. That story is so sweet. I love it because I love the relationship between Angelina and her sister Polly. Here's a poem by Caliph Brown, Hallow Willoween. Within a hollow willow tree, behind the village green, busy ants are making plans for Hallow Willoween. They gather bits of candle wax, they peel a tangerine, they decorate the window shades on Hallow Willoween. A magic night for eager ants, the spooky games, the crazy dance, the rows of cakes and sugared figs, the costume ball with masks and wigs. A lucky ant will win a prize presented by the queen. The rowdy crowd will jump and shout on Hallow Willoween. So this next story is about pumpkins because pumpkins have become a tradition in Halloween. And pumpkins used to be put out to scare away all the evil creatures that would be around on Halloween. But now it's just a fun tradition to go and pick out a pumpkin and to carve it and decorate it. And you can either make it scary or pretty or whatever design you can think of. So here is The Very Best Pumpkin by Mark Kimball Moulton. Down a windy country lane and over a rolling hill, you'll find Pumpkin Hollow Farm, where a young boy named Peter lives with his grandparents, Mimi and Papa. In the spring, they grow plump, juicy strawberries, and in summer, corn, crisp and sweet as honey. But it's in the fall that Mimi and Papa's farm produce the most wonderful crop of all. Pumpkins! Big pumpkins, small pumpkins, short pumpkins, tall pumpkins. They grow pumpkins of every shape and size. One summer, not so long ago, as Peter was tending his pumpkins, he spotted a long, curlicue vine he hadn't noticed before. It twisted and traveled all the way beyond the far edge of the field. Curious, Peter followed where it went. Curiously, he climbed over pumpkin after pumpkin, and he trailed the vine into the nearby meadow. And at the vine's very end, much to Peter's surprise, he discovered a tiny pumpkin growing all by itself among the weeds. Poor little pumpkin, thought Peter, it's awfully lonely out here. Carefully, Peter cleared the weeds so the pumpkin could enjoy some sunshine. Then he loosened the soil around the plant and gave it some water. Every day that followed, when Peter had finished tending all the other pumpkins that grew side by side in the field, he hurried on to the meadow to visit his lonely little pumpkin. Peter was so busy that summer, he didn't notice that a new family had moved in next door to Mimi and Papa's farm. Peter's new neighbor, Meg, spent most of her time alone, reading under a tree at the far edge of her yard. One afternoon, as Meg was reading, she heard a noise in the meadow next door. She peeked around just in time to see Peter as he bent to care for a special pumpkin. Day after day, Meg quietly watched, and little by little, Peter's pumpkin grew. It grew larger and larger and rounder and plumper, and began to change color from pale yellow to dark green, and finally to a deep, rich orange red that glowed in the late summer sun. It was the most beautiful pumpkin Meg had ever seen. Soon the leaves began to change, and the days grew shorter and cooler. Folks began to arrive at Mimi and Papa's farm to select their pumpkins. Peter helped his teacher, Mrs. Clark, choose a pretty little pumpkin for her desk at school. Peter proudly showed Officer Bailey a big pumpkin in the middle of the field. It would look dandy on the steps of the police station in town. Miss Jane, the librarian, thanked Peter after he helped her pick just the right pumpkins for her award-winning pies. Peter helped pumpkin after pumpkin find a good home, but he was saving one pumpkin, his special pumpkin, the best pumpkin of all. Late one afternoon, Meg and her parents came by the farm to pick their pumpkins. Peter watched as Meg stepped gingerly into the field and began to search. She peeked under giant leaves and crawled over rambling vines and carefully stepped between pumpkin after pumpkin, but couldn't seem to find just the right one. Meg looked here and she looked there, she looked everywhere. Just as she was about to leave, someone stepped up behind her. "I think I might know where to look," Peter said. Peter guided Meg past all the pumpkins in the field until they came upon the wandering vine. "Follow me," he said. They followed the vine to the meadow where Peter's pumpkin grew. "This one's the very best pumpkin," said Peter. "Oh, it's beautiful," Meg cried. Meg shyly told Peter how she'd been there all along, watching him care for his pumpkin. "I knew you were there," Peter confessed. "That's why I'd like you to have it." Together, Meg and Peter carried their special pumpkin across the field to show Meg's parents. Autumn turned into winter and winter into spring. Soon it was summer once again, and Peter was busy tending a new crop of pumpkins side by side with his new friend Meg. Every day they cleared the weeds and tilled the soil and watered the field. And just like the pumpkins, their friendship grew and grew and grew. That's such a good friendship story, and the pumpkins are pretty cool too. Here's a poem about pumpkins as well. Here is Pumpkin, Pumpkin, Pumpkin Bright by N.M. Boddicker. Pumpkin, pumpkin, pumpkin bright, when the goblins ride tonight, guide me with your kindly light, pumpkin, pumpkin, pumpkin bright. Pumpkin, pumpkin, pumpkin grin, Cheshire cat and tiger kin, night without and light within, dancing, darting pumpkin grin. Pumpkin, pumpkin, pumpkin head, when my trick-or-treats are said, will you light me to my bed, kind old father pumpkin head? Pumpkin, pumpkin, pumpkin pie, I'm so sad that I could cry. Why, dear Papa Lantern, why must you end as pumpkin pie? Pumpkin, pumpkin, pumpkin bright, autumn lantern in the night. You'll be back next year, all right. Pumpkin, pumpkin, pumpkin bright. Even though monsters may seem a little bit scary on Halloween night, they can also be pretty silly and have funny names as well. Here is Heffalumps and Woozles from Disney's Winnie the Pooh.
They're black,
they're brown,
they're up,
they're down,
they're in,
they're out,
they're all above,
they're far,
they're near,
they're gone,
they're there,
they're quick and slick,
they're insincere.
Beware, beware, be a very wary bear. A heffalump or woozle is very confusal. A heffalump or woozle's very sly.
Sly, sly!
They come in ones and twosles, but if they so choosels, before your eyes you'll see them multiply.
Why?
They're extraordinary, so better be wary, because they come in every shape and size.
Size,
size. If honey's what you covet, you'll find that they love it, because they'll guzzle up the thing you prize. Beware, beware, be a very wary bear. So better be wary, because they come in every shape and size.
Size,
size. If honey's what you covet, you'll find that they love it, because they'll guzzle up the thing you prize.
They're black,
they're brown,
they're up,
they're down,
they're in,
they're out,
they're all about,
they're far,
they're near,
they're gone,
they're here,
they're quick and slick,
they're insincere.
Beware, 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 beware.
Welcome back to The Storyteller. I'm Natalie Harris. In case if you're just joining us, we are doing a Halloween theme tonight because Halloween is just a few days away, which seems so crazy. So for our next book, we have one about a silly little monkey. Here is Margaret and H.A. Ray's Curious George Goes to a Costume Party. This is George. He was a good little monkey and always very curious. One day, George and his friend, the man with the yellow hat, were on their way to a party at Mrs. Gray's house. George cannot wait. He liked parties, and he was looking forward to seeing Mrs. Gray. But when the door opened, George did not see Mrs. Gray at all. He saw a witch. "Don't be afraid, George," said the man with the yellow hat. "This witch is our friend." The witch took off her mask. It was Mrs. Gray after all. "Oh, dear," she said, "did I forget to tell you this was a costume party?" George had never been to a costume party before. Inside, he saw more people that he knew. They were all wearing costumes. It was his friend Betsy, dressed up like an astronaut. And was that Bill? Why, he looked just like a mummy. George wanted to wear a costume, too. "I have some dress-up clothes upstairs," said Mrs. Gray. "Would you like to use them to make a costume, George?" Mrs. Gray took George to a room with a big trunk filled with clothes. "Borrow anything you like, George," she said. "I have just the thing for your friend downstairs." George tried on lots of costumes. The first was too big, the next was too small, another was too silly, and this one was too scary. At last, George found a costume that was just right. George was a rodeo cowboy. He wore a vest and pants with fringe. He even had a lasso and a hat. If only he could see himself in the mirror. George was curious. Could he see himself if he stood on the bed? No, he needed to jump higher. George bounced on the bed just a little, but he still couldn't see. He bounced a little more and a little more. Soon George was having so much fun he forgot all about looking in the mirror. He bounced as high as he could until... Crash! George bounced off the bed. He smashed into the night table and got tangled up in the tablecloth. Suddenly everything went dark. George heard the people downstairs gasp. What was that? Was that a ghost? A ghost? George did not want to meet up with the ghost alone. He dashed out of the room and down the hall. He wanted to get back to his friend in a hurry, and he knew the fastest way. He hopped onto the stair rail and sailed whoosh down the stairs. It is a ghost, someone screamed. Everyone turned. They looked scared, and they were looking at George. The ghost must be right behind him. George flew off the rail and landed plop in the arms of a farmer. But this wasn't really a farmer. It was his friend, the man with the yellow hat. Soon everyone stopped looking scared and started to laugh. That's not a ghost, that's a cowboy, laughed a policeman. That's not a cowboy, that's a monkey, giggled a princess. That's not just any monkey, said Betsy. It's Curious George. Everyone clapped and cheered. They liked George's Halloween trick. You gave us a good scare, George, said Mrs. Gray, and I'm glad to see you found some interesting costumes. Now why don't I take your ghost outfit so you can join the party? After the ghost bought for apples, the jack-o'-lanterns, and played some party games, prizes for the best costumes were handed out. There was one prize for Betsy and one for Bill and two for Curious George. You were the best ghost and the best cowboy, George, said Mrs. Gray. Everyone had a good time at the party, especially George. You soon it was time to say goodbye. Good night, George. Happy Halloween. The end. Isn't that funny? George is such a silly little monkey. This next story is one is about animals that we see all the time during Halloween. They're everywhere in the Halloween stores and in Halloween decorations. Here is Bats at the Library by Brian Lutz. Another inky evening here. The air is cool and calm and clear. We've feasted, fluttered, swooped, and soared, and yet we're still a little bored. All this sameness leaves us blue and makes us ache for something new. Then word spreads quickly from afar. A window has been left ajar. Can it be true? Oh, can it be? Yes, bat night at the library. The sky is lively as we race together toward our favorite place. Eager wings beat on air. Look, that's it. We're almost there. Then squeezed together, wing to wing, we rocket through the opening. We've waited for this night all year, but this is it. At last, we're here. For most old bats, this isn't new. They've got lots of things to do. They'll flutter off and lose themselves among the books lined up on shelves. Other bats in munchy moods will study guides to fancy foods, or hang out by a lamp instead to talk about the books they've read. But little bats will have to learn the reason that we must return. The ones who haven't come before have no idea what's in store. Some of them will drift away and figure out a game to play, like shaping shadows on the wall or wingtip tail around the hall. This big box is loads of fun, blasting brighter than the sun. Instead of copying books from shelves, we can duplicate ourselves. Doesn't matter where you look, there's nothing like a pop-up book. The fountain's water's nice and cool, it makes a splendid swimming pool. Please keep it down, you must behave, this library is not your cave. It's hard to settle down and read when life flits by at a dizzy speed, but story time is just the thing to relax a play-exhausted wing. And if we listen, we will hear some distant voices drawing near. Louder, louder, louder still, they coax and pull us in until everyone, old bat or pup, has been completely swallowed up and lives inside a book, instead of simply hearing something read. Breathless, lost within the tale, no one sees the sky grow pale. What is that light? A lamp? The moon? Our bookish feast can't end so soon. It feels as though we've just begun, but now we leave our books half done. Through the window, into sky, it's much too late, we've got to fly. But maybe a librarian will give us bats this chance again, and leave a window open wide to let us share the world inside. For now we'll dream of things we read, a universe inside each head. Every morning, one and all, we'll listen for the late night call. Can it be true? Or can it be? Yes, bat night at the library. The end. I like that book, and it's funny to think of bats hanging out inside the library at night. And this next story is one that I remember from another book that I remember from my childhood, and I really connected with the main character, Anne Estelle. I've read some of her books before. The Anne Estelle has short blonde hair and glasses, and that's what I used to look like when I was younger. So here is Queen of Halloween by Mary Englebright. Anne Estelle had the perfect Halloween costume, a long lacy skirt, a bright shiny wand, and a pair of glittery wings, and a crown, of course. She was the Fairy Queen. Her friend Michael was a pirate. He had a sword, an eye patch, and big black boots. "Yo-ho-ho," said Michael. "Tra-la-la," said Anne Estelle. "Trick-or-treat." "We don't need a grown-up," said Michael. "We're old enough to go trick-or-treating alone." Anne Estelle wasn't sure about that. The night looked very dark, but she didn't want Michael to think she was scared. "Well, you might not need a grown-up, but I need some kids," said Anne Estelle's father. "Let's go before all the candy's gone." Anne Estelle had been right. The night was dark. Even the streetlights didn't seem very bright. There were ghosts and witches running everywhere. "Don't be scared," said Anne Estelle's father, and he squeezed her hand tight. "It's just pretend." "I know," said Anne Estelle, but she squeezed his hand back. "Pirates are brave," said Michael. "Queens are brave, too," said Anne Estelle. They got chocolate bars from a witch, they got lollipops from a spooky mummy, they got apples from Miss McGilligan, Anne Estelle's teacher. "Good for your teeth," she said. Their bags got heavier and heavier. "It's late," said Anne Estelle's father, "time to head home." "One more house," said Anne Estelle, "and can we go alone?" asked Michael. "We're old enough." "All right," said Anne Estelle's father, "I'll wait for you on the sidewalk. Just go up and ring the doorbell." The house was big and old. The wind blew in the bushes as Anne Estelle and Michael came up the sidewalk. The closer they got, the scarier the house looked. They could hear a dog barking nearby. Anne Estelle didn't like big dogs. She wanted to look back at her dad, but then Michael would know she was scared. The porch steps creaked. The dog barked again. "I don't think anybody's home," Michael whispered. "Let's go back." Anne Estelle looked at Michael. His voice sounded shaky. The eye that wasn't covered by the patch was very wide. Anne Estelle realized something. Michael was afraid. Somehow that made Anne Estelle feel braver. "Let's ring the bell," she said. "But there's a dog," said Michael. "It's in the backyard," said Anne Estelle. "It won't hurt us." She pushed the doorbell with her finger. Nobody came. "See, nobody's home," said Michael. But then the door cracked open. "Trick or treat," said Anne Estelle. She poked Michael. "Trick or treat," he said. "You're my last trick or treater," said the white-haired woman who opened the door. "So you might as well take all of the candy." Michael and Anne Estelle held out their bags. Then they ran down the front walk to Anne Estelle's father. "You did it," he said. "Queens are brave," said Anne Estelle, "and pirates, too." "So you weren't even a little scared?" asked her father. Anne Estelle looked at Michael. Michael looked at Anne Estelle. "Oh, we were scared, all right," Anne Estelle said. "But, you know, you have to be a little scared so you can be brave." The end. I love the last line in that book, and it's very true. Sometimes you have to be a little bit scared in order for you to grow and to become more brave. Again, I really hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Remember, the Storyteller's Capri made possible with the generous contributions of Casey Farm members and by Flora Native Nursery and Restoration, Where the Wild Things Grow, a California native nursery committed to the use of sustainable native plants for landscaping and restoration projects. For information about native plants and drought-tolerant landscape design, visit Flora Native Nursery and Restoration at 2511 Flora Avenue or call 892-2511 online at floranativenursery.com. And make sure to stay tuned for other sounds to your Felipe. Again, I really hope you enjoyed tonight's show and that you all have a wonderful and safe night on Halloween. I'm so excited because I'm going to dress up for Halloween and I'm going to be Wendy Darling for one of my favorite stories, Peter Pan. I'm so excited because I've never been Wendy before. And I know that my friends and I are going to have a ton of fun trick-or-treating. And I hope you have fun trick-or-treating with your friends or your family. Or even if you just decide to watch Halloween movies or do fun games as well. Whatever you do, I hope it's fun and that you have a good time. And I really like trick-or-treating because of all the candy I get. It lasts me a really long time. And I really hope I get Kit Kats and Milky Ways. Anything with caramel and chocolate is the best. For our last song, let's try to see if you can guess what it is before I play it. This song is from a movie, and it's cool. This song is cool because you can watch it at least 2 times a year. I mean, I recommend it watching more, but hey, you know, This song, well, this movie, it has to do with Halloween and Christmas. There's also a pumpkin, a skeleton character, and he is known as the Pumpkin King. And this movie is also around in Disneyland and Disney World's Haunted Mansion. They decorate the ride around this movie. And there's also, the main character is called the Oogie Boogie Man. Does this ring any bells at all? Anyone? Well, this is Halloween from Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. See you next time.
Something strange. Come with us and you will see. This our town of Halloween.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Pumpkins scream in the dead of night.
This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene.
Trick or treat.
Tell the neighbors on the diaphragm.
It's our town. Everybody scream.
This town of Halloween.
I am the one hiding under your bed. Teeth ground sharp and eyes glowing red.
I am the one hiding under your stairs. Fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next surprise.
In the trash can, something's waiting there to pounce. And how you scream!
This is Halloween.
Red and black.
It's slightly green.
Aren't you scared?
Well, that's just fine.
Say it once, say it twice. Take a chance and roll the dice.
Ride with the moon in the dead of night.
Everybody scream! Everybody scream!
In our town of Halloween.
I am the clown with the tearaway face.
Here in a flash, vomit and trace.
I am the who in the cold.
The shadow on the moon at night, filling your dreams to the brim with fright.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
Halloween, Halloween.
Tingle-up looms everywhere. Life's no fun without a good scare.
That's our job.
But we're not mean.
In our town of Halloween.
In this town.
We love it now.
Everyone's waiting for the next surprise.
Skeleton Jack might catch you in the back and
scream like a banshee, make you jump out of your skin.
This is Halloween. Everybody scream.
Won't you please make way for a very special guy?
Wildman Jack is king of the pumpkin patch. Everyone hail to the pumpkin king.
Now this is Halloween. This is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
Mamá, no puedo con ella. Muchacha, si tú no puedes con esa mugra de agua. Muchacha, si tú no puedes, ¿por qué no llamas a Pedro? Mamá, no puedo con ella.
No puedo con ella.
Mamá, no puedo con ella.
No puedo con ella.
Es que no puedo con ella.
No puedo con ella.
Mamá, no puedo con ella. ¿Quién te rompió tu mucurita de barro? Fue Pedro que me ayudó, ¿pa' qué me hiciste llamarlo?